Mark 2, verses 23 and 24. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Several times in this chapter, Jesus has offended the religious Jews. He has not broken the law of the Lord, but he has violated the traditions of men. They're upset with Jesus Christ because he refuses to do the things that they say that people ought to do, that they say that people ought to do. Not necessarily what the law of God commands, but what the traditions and teachings of men say. We've already seen the Pharisees, the religious Jews, getting upset with Christ because he had the audacity to eat a meal in the sinner's home, surrounded by other sinners, as we saw in Mark 2, verses 15 and 16, where it said, "Now it happened as he was dining in Levi's house that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, 'How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?'" And the people, the religious people, they were shocked, they were upset, they found it unacceptable, they were offended, they were indignant over it, and they resented the fact that Christ ate with sinners, that he was surrounded by sinners. Then we saw the anger of the people towards Christ because of his refusal to observe the rituals and the rules that the Jewish leaders had commanded the Jews to follow. We saw in Mark 2, verse 18, the disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to him, "Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Another scandal. They were furious again. They were upset, they're shocked, they're offended once again because Christ won't not obey their rules. But Christ was saying to them, "What does your Bible say? What does the Scripture say? What has God commanded? What does the Bible say?" In the passage today, we're confronted with another scandal. For the Jews, this would be no ordinary scandal. For this scandal would create such anger and hatred towards Jesus Christ that we read in Mark 3, verse 6. "Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him or kill him." That's where the rules and regulations of people will eventually get you. Your death, either physically or spiritually, or in some way, it will result in destruction for you if you do not go along with the rules and regulations of man. There's much to consider here in our text, and I'm going to say right now, some of it will not sit well with some people. But that is just the way it is. I'm committed to preaching the Bible and not pleasing the people. As we study this passage, I want you to listen with an open mind and an open heart. Let the Lord speak truth to your soul today, and let the Word of God have the final word in all matters of faith and practice. What does the Bible say? Above all, don't miss the primary lesson of this passage. The primary lesson taught here is that a personal relationship with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ is far more important than keeping religious rules and rituals. The teachings and traditions of men is far more important that you would know God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. In verses 23 and 24 of Mark, we see that the Pharisees are upset again. It seems to me that their primary goal in life was to set themselves up as judge and jury on the lives of others. Does that sound familiar? Every time you see these men in the Bible, they're criticizing something. I will repeat what I said the other day. The meanest people in the world are people with religion. The meanest people in the world are people with religion. A person who has all the rules and no relationship with Jesus Christ is a hard person to deal with. Especially when you say to them, what does your Bible say? Where in the Bible do you find that? What does the Bible say? The men in our text, they're upset. They cannot believe what they see the disciples of Jesus Christ doing. Let's look at why they are so displeased. Look at verse 23 in Mark 2. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath day, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. The Pharisees are upset because the disciples are eating corn in a field on the Sabbath day. The word corn refers to grain. It was probably wheat that these men were eating as they walked through the field. There were very few roads as we know then in those days, but there were paths that ran alongside and through the fields of that time. As the travelers passed by, the grain would be within easy reach. Now, we would probably not like it if a person passed by our garden and just helped themselves, but this was common practice in those days. In fact, the law of Moses gave very clear instruction concerning this matter. Once again, what does your Bible say? We're looking at a specific text in Mark. We want to see about what the teaching is about eating grain on the Sabbath. Do they have the right? First of all, do they have the right to pick that grain? Let's look at Deuteronomy 23, verses 24 and 25. What does your Bible say? Deuteronomy 23, 24 and 25. When you come into your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat your fill of grapes at your pleasure, but don't put any in the container. Don't load it up. Have your fill of grapes. Verse 25. When you come into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the heads with your hand, but you shall not use a sickle on your neighbor's standing grain. So what were these disciples doing? They were simply obeying the law. They were obeying the law. They had the right to pluck the heads of grain. They were doing what was in their rightful obedience to the law. The disciples were well within their rights to pick the grain and eat it. Why were the Pharisees so torn up about it? The disciples dared to do what the law allowed. But they dared to do it on the Sabbath day. You see, the criticism of the disciples in verse 24 of Mark. And the Pharisees said to him, look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? See, they're saying, what do they do? Why do they do what is not lawful? See, and then they tag on the Sabbath. But they're saying, it's not lawful on the Sabbath to do it. They're saying, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Disciples are well within their rights. The Pharisees come to Jesus and attack him because his men are picking grain and eating it on the Sabbath day. They accuse the disciples of doing something unlawful on the Sabbath day. The question that arises is this. Was what the disciples were doing an unlawful activity? Did picking grain and eating it violate the law? The answer is no. We just saw in Deuteronomy, no, it didn't violate the law. Matter of fact, they're obeying the law. The law is very clear in what's prohibited on the Sabbath. You look at Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. It tells you about the Sabbath day. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. Your son, your daughter, servant, cattle. In the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I'm sorry. The people were not allowed to work on the Sabbath day. The word work refers to, quote unquote, their business. The people of Israel were forbidden from labor that brought them a profit on that day. God was so serious about the children of Israel keeping the Sabbath day that he made it clear that people who violated the Sabbath work ban was to be put to death. Exodus 31, let's just look at 31, it's covered in verses 12 to 18, but let's just look at verse 14. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Shall surely be put to death. Pretty serious business. What does your Bible say? The disciples were not working. They were simply meeting a pressing need. They were hungry, and they were simply doing what the law gave them permission to do. Here's the problem. Here's the rub. Here's the problem. Here's where the problem lies. The Pharisees were not judging these men according to the law of Moses. They were judging them according to the teachings of the rabbis and the elders. Every church has them. Every church has their teachings. This is the way we do things here. They have their list of their nasty nine that they don't do, and their filthy five and terrible threes. Their blue laws. The traditions and teaching of men have been placed on the same level with the written word of God. That's why you have to always say about rules and regulations and traditions of men, what does the Bible say? Where in the Bible do you find that? Either when you add traditions or teachings to a church, where does the Bible say that? Or you take away from the church and refuse to do things that the Bible clearly commands you to do, but you refuse to do it. What does the Bible say? The disciples had not violated God's law. They had violated the traditions of men, and the Pharisees are upset about it. You offend the traditions of religious people, and they will be upset. They will find you unacceptable, offensive. They will resent you. And they will downright come to hate you because you don't do the rules and the regulations. And all you're doing is simply asking, where in the Bible is that? Where are you getting that from in the Bible? Either adding or taking away from the Bible. For hundreds of years, the scribes, Pharisees, and others had added regulation on top of regulation that went far beyond the original teachings of the Scripture. They had taken a day that had been given to man as a blessing, and they, by their foolish rules and regulations, had turned that day into a burden. What was to be a blessing of the Lord, a day of rest, became a day of burden. The rules that people were required to follow made them work harder on the Sabbath than on any other day. They took the blessing of God and basically turned it into a curse. And that's what men do with their traditions and their additions and their subtractions. They worked so hard trying to be sure that they did not violate the Sabbath regulation that they had no time to rest on that special day. Let me just read a couple things, a quick glance at some of the rules to show you why the day had become such a burden to the Jews. I'm going to say these fast and not necessarily say them all. People were forbidden from traveling more than 3,000 feet from their homes on the Sabbath. A Jew cannot carry an object that weighed more than a dried fig, but an object that weighed half the amount could be carried twice. One could eat nothing larger than an olive. You cannot throw an object into the air with one hand and catch it with the other. If the Sabbath came upon you as you were reaching out for some food, you'd have to drop the food before you pulled your arm back. Otherwise, you'd be guilty of carrying a burden on the Sabbath. Nothing could be bought or sold. Clothing could not be washed or dried. A letter could not be sent. A fire could not be lit or extinguished. If you failed to light your lamp before the Sabbath, you had to sit in the dark until the next evening. Jews cannot take a bath on the Sabbath. If they did, some of the water might splash onto the floor, and this would be considered washing it. Chairs or other heavy objects cannot be moved because dragging them might make a furrow in the ground, and that would be considered plowing. A woman cannot look into the looking glass because she might see a gray hair and be tempted to pull it out. False teeth cannot be worn because they exceeded the weight limits. A Jewish tailor cannot carry a needle on the Sabbath lest he be tended to mend a torn garment. It was against the law to tie or untie a knot. Sew two stitches or prepare food. If a Jew was injured on the Sabbath, it was unlawful to make him better. You can only give him enough treatment to keep him alive. The restrictions had even become dangerous. On two occasions, the Jews were defeated by their enemies, and thousands of Jews died because they refused to defend themselves on the Sabbath. And this, brothers and sisters, is just a small sample of the thousands of senseless, foolish, man-made rules the Jews were forced to live by. What does your Bible say? Where are you getting this teaching from? Where is this rule, this regulation coming from? Where is this addition to the Scripture or subtraction from the Scripture? Where are you getting it from? The Sabbath, as a result, was a day filled with burdensome ritual and no rest at all. What God had planned to be a blessing became a burden. The very day of blessing became the very day of a curse. And that's what many of the rules and regulations in the tradition of men and women will become. Burdensome. When the Pharisees saw the disciples picking and eating grain on the Sabbath day, they considered what they were doing to be work. Picking grain was considered reaping. Rolling the wheat to remove the husk was sifting. Rubbing the heads of wheat was threshing. Bruising the ears of wheat was grinding. And that's what will happen to your Christian life. It will become grinding. It will become worn out. It will become beat down. There'll be no joy. There'll be no happiness. Your blessings will be turned into curses. The Pharisees thought that tossing weed up into the air was winnowing. The lesson for us is this. We must be very careful that the doctrines and traditions of men do not come to have the same authority in our lives as the Word of God. Let me say that again. The lesson for us is this. We must be very careful that the doctrines and traditions of men do not come to have the same authority in our lives as the Word of God. The Bible is God's final authority. It is the only standard for faith and practice. It does not matter what you have been taught, what you believe, or what your favorite preacher says. All that matters is what does the Bible say. When you approach the Scripture, let me read a quote for you from Calvin. This is what he said. All Scripture must be received as if God, appearing in person, visibly and full of majesty, were Himself speaking. Is that your approach to the Word of God? that all of his scripture must be received as if God appearing in person, visibly and full of glory, full of majesty, were himself speaking. Is that your approach to the Word of God? Or are you more concerned with the traditions and the teachings of your church? Or the traditions and teachings that you've made up in your own mind? When you come to the scripture, do you think that you were actually appearing before God Almighty, who is visible and full of all his majesty? When you wrestle with a doctrine or a scripture or a portion of scripture, do you come in prayer before God as if you were personally appearing before him and say, Lord, what does the scripture mean? What does it say? And the Lord shouts back at you, it means exactly what it says. Would you tell him no? Or would you bow in humble submission to him and receive him? Receive it. When we stand before the Lord, we will not be judged by the words of the preacher or by the traditions of men. You will not be judged by my words or the traditions of men. You'll be judged by that Bible. That's why today's message is entitled, What Does the Bible Say? For John 12, verse 48, tells us, in closing, he who rejects me and does not receive my words, this is Christ speaking, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. The word that Christ has spoken will judge you on that last day. The question is, what does the Bible say? And what is it that you believe? And what is it that you refuse to believe? What does the Bible say?